Welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Ed Kalenge. Our next guest was a part of one of the most iconic shows in television history. She portrayed Major Margaret Hot Lips Houlihan on MASH, which this year marks its 45th anniversary. Her new book, Sweetheart, The Watercolor Artistry and Animal Activism of Loretta Swit, is available now. It combines her passion for art and her passion for animals. It is great to say hello to Loretta Swit. Loretta, welcome to the show.
Hello, Ed. Thank you so much. What a lovely intro.
Thank you.
I'm going to try to live up to that. Okay.
This is such a great idea for a book. I love this book. Tell us all about it.
Well, it happened to me. Mies Hora, who's the best publisher you could ever hope to have, saw my paintings quite in a just a friendly, relaxed environment. We were on board our friend's plane flying in from Florida back to New York, and I had my computer with me. I was working on something, and he said, whoa, wait a minute, what is that? I said, oh, I do watercolors. And he started looking at them and said, this is a book?
That's always
really?
Good when you hear that.
He said, yes, absolutely. I doubt I'd have pursued that on my own, but Mies just handed it to me. He said, we have to do this. And I've learned so much. We're starting to collect portraits and paintings for the second edition.
Wow.
So, but it was a labor of love. It was wonderful. The words flowed out very easily. It's my certainly theater, arts, animals. Those are all my favorite subjects. I talk about MASH indefinitely, because it was such a wonderful experience and a happy show, and I love my MASH family people, and so there are things that I can just go on and on about ad infinitum, and of course animals has always been my passion.
Now, you've recently received the Betty White Award from Actors and Others for Animals. What was it in your life that turned your love of animals into true activism?
I've always cared about animals, and I guess before I knew everybody didn't, I thought everybody did. And as I got older and saw that I everybody did not share those beliefs, I must have thought, well, I do, and I'm going to plunge ahead and maybe gather an army of people who feel the way I do.
Sure.
And that's actually what has happened with our movement. I was in activism before there was a word for animal rights. We were running around and we were being called just a bunch of bleeding hearts who cared about animals. And I look back at that and we've come a long, long, long way from that, you know, and people are starting to learn about, we're now flowing along. We're gathering legions of people all the time because it is obvious that we need to care. We're the caretakers here on this planet, and we're constantly reminded of the bonding between the animal world and the human world. We have war dogs now. We have animals, working animals, going to hospitals, going to homes for the elderly. The AMA has said this is the best medicine. We've had, search dog rescue dogs at 9/11. I watched those dogs work. They break my heart. They're so wonderful. And we have these great projects now. We rescue little lab puppies or mixed breed labs, and we train them. We turn them into dogs that rescue us. It's a win-win situation. Mm-hmm. We rescue them, train them, and they rescue us. I've just taken on a new project, Pets for Vets. Well, what is a greater gift that we could give our vets but a special animal companion?
Sure.
To give that vet the love that he deserves, this unconditional love. But the working animals, I'm going to get on airplanes now. And the other week I was on a plane and there was a woman sitting there with a little terrier on her lap, and he was wearing a coat saying he was a help dog.
Right.
And I smiled. I said, exactly, what does that little creature do to help you? And she said, he tells me when to take my heart medicine.
Aw.
Yes. And she said, I don't always know, but he senses, he feels my heartbeat and my blood pressure, and he tells me to take my pills. And so it behooves us to take good care of our animal companions and stop any unnecessary and terrible cruelty. Teaching people about spaying and neutering. We're still killing too many domestic animals because there are no homes for them, and they're all being destroyed. They shouldn't be born to begin with.
Right.
We're trying to destroy all of these puppy mills, kitten mills, producing sick, terrible animals that are not bringing happiness to anything, anybody.
Right.
It's a daily fight. And there's always something that needs to be handled, needs to be fixed. And I think our numbers are such now that we have some clout, and we will try to fix those things. Mm-hmm. We will try to make them better.
Let me touch on the fact that it's been 45 years since the debut of MASH, 34 years since the historic finale. Isn't it incredible how that show remains relevant and in the public's consciousness to this day?
It's phenomenal, really. And yet, if you take a look at what it is that they're responding to, you'll find that it has no frontier. There's no everything that we laughed and cried about and talked about in the series is current.
Mm-hmm.
It's current. We speak out against killing. We speak out against wars. Well, we're still doing that. We're still, you know what I'm saying?
Sure, the message is still there, right.
Exactly. People often confuse the issue about which war it was. And our reply has always been the same. What's the difference?
Right.
It doesn't matter whether it's Korea or Vietnam or the Second World War.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it just, we're saying the same things, and those are good things. The humor was always intelligent and careful. Why it continues, another reason, is because it appealed to families. It brought families together. Mom and Pop trusted us to babysit their kids.
Right.
We were positive influence in that child's life. And as they grew up, like, for example, when they were very young watching Klinger, it was a visual joke, mm-hmm. seeing him dressed up like Chiquita Banana or something. And as they grew older and realized why he was doing it and why he wanted to get away from. So it continued to be a learning process. Now, those kids, they were, let's say, 11 when they started watching MASH, 21 when it went off the air. They're in college. They're even engaged. Well, they're all married with grown children, and their grown children have children. And the process of the family ties continues.
And it continues to this day, and that message is one that is just as important now as it was back then. Well, once again, the book is Switheart, The Watercolor Artistry and Animal Activism of Loretta Swit. It makes a terrific gift as well for both animal and art enthusiasts.
May I interject something very quickly? If you buy it from my website, which is www.switheart.com,
mm-hmm.
all the monies goes into the Switheart Animal Alliance Foundation, which is a 501c3, gathering those funds to help other animal humane organizations.
Yes.
If you buy it on Amazon, they do take 55% of those funds. And so, in a way, I want to remind friends and fans out there,
mm-hmm.
that all of the money from the sale, if you buy it online from my website, all that money will go into the funding if they care. That's important.
No, that's very important. All right, very good. Loretta Swit, thank you so much for joining us here on America Weekend.
Oh, thank you for your time. Goodbye for now.
Take care. She really does put her money where her mouth is when it comes to her animal activism. And if you take a look at the book is actually really good. I mean, her art is good. The cover is beautiful. As you can see, she is quite interested in helping animals. And it is a subject that has really gotten notoriety through the years. You would say animal rights back in the 70s and 80s, and you'd get a funny look. But now it is a very important subject, and she does some very important work. Stay with us. More to come. I'm Ed Kalegi, and this is America Weekend from the Envision Radio Network.
America Weekend.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here, would you like to know how to raise a high-achieving kid? I mean, no doubt you want your child to do well in this lifetime, and no doubt you want them to achieve, excel, even surpass what you've achieved. So, how do you do it? Here's the science of it. Achieving boys had very nurturing fathers during the first 10 years of life. These fathers cuddled, roughhoused, and comforted them. Then they pulled back when the teen years hit. Girls had fathers who supported athletics and remained emotionally close during their teens, but never pulled back. What's the cheap psychological trick? Nurturing fathers produce achieving children, and there's no need to pull back from girls or boys when they hit their teenage years. You can check out my book, Cheap Psychological Tricks for Parents, at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MY-TV.
Big Success in a Minute with George and Mary Lynn.
You may have read one of his books or seen the movie version, but this famous writer almost threw it all away.
In college, he met the love of his life and married her, sold his first short story, and earned a degree.
But he couldn't find a job, so he eked out a living working in an industrial laundry. Every evening and weekend, he wrote.
But he became so frustrated with one story, he threw the whole manuscript into the garbage can. When his wife saw it, she pulled it out and encouraged him to finish it. He did, but not as a short story. Carrie became Stephen King's first published novel.
What projects have you started? Give them a second look. You may scare up some big success.
Find big success at BIGGSuccess.com.
Do you have troubled skin or acne? With Proactive Plus, your acne can heal and you can help prevent new breakouts from happening. Call Proactive Plus now and receive a 60-day risk-free trial along with two free extras and free shipping. Call 800-393-6139. That's 1-800-393-6139.